For Women's History Month, let's take a look at the state of women in the arts. A recent study showed that between 2007 and 2013, only 27% of solo art shows in American museums were devoted to women. And another study said just one of the nation's 13 largest museums is run by a woman. To address these statistics, I spoke with the Spelman Museum of Fine Arts director Andrea Barnwell Brownlee and Michael Shapiro, the former director of the High Museum. Andrea appeared on a panel last month that Michael moderated at Emory's Gazueta Business School about women in arts leadership. Here's Andrea.
One of the most exciting things about participating on that panel was the opportunity to really be in conversation with two colleagues that I really respect. Kaywin Fellman was to my right, and to hear her perspectives on experiences that she has really encountered in the field was really, really tremendous. And then to my left, I got to see and have conversations with Liz Glassman at the Tara Foundation. So to see these very different perspectives and very different paths, one very traditional art historian's path, and the other MBA, curator, et cetera, but they had something very real in common, and that was the fact that gender, inequality, and all of these things really, really had shaped and informed some of the decisions that they made in terms of their careers.
Kaywin made some very interesting points about, derived from a speech that she gave at the American Alliance of Museums annual meeting, in which she talked about the word gravitas. And in her experience, the word gravitas was used by usually search committee chairs when they were saying, well, you didn't have enough gravitas for this position, which was code for you're not a man.
Because a woman shouldn't be taken as seriously.
There were those implications. And I thought it was just great that Kaywin put it out there. And at that conference where she gave that speech, she got a standing ovation. And I think by being more forthright about these issues, I think it helps accelerate the rate of change.
27%. This certainly underscores the discrepancies in terms of represented artists and people in leadership, right?
There's also a very compelling breakdown as it relates to the operating budgets and the sizes of those museums. So in this study, it really does reference that if it's a $15 million institution or above, certainly those percentages of women that are leading are around that 26-27%. However, if you look at those institutions that are 15 million and below, the percentage goes way up. It's up something around 47-49%. So the parity and the equity is different when it comes to those museums that have a comparatively smaller operating budget. So what are we saying about women and the capacity and the abilities and the gravitas to lead those institutions that have indeed a larger budget? So the statistics are alarming, and they are a red flag and also signals that we have a lot of work to do. But I'm one of those rose-colored glasses, and let's roll up our sleeves and let's do the work. And let's talk about gender balance and the roles and the abilities of women on a more consistent basis.
Well, looking beyond the arts, this is, of course, a systemic issue around the globe.
Absolutely.
But are there any particularities about this situation when it comes to the arts? Andrea, you mentioned the mid-level and smaller museums, there is greater parity. Arts offices are overwhelmingly made up of women, but they just don't hold the leadership positions.
I think that's absolutely correct. that norm needs to change. And I think there's a space in our society at the moment for these issues to be articulated with much greater candor and energy and directness than ever before.
It just seems so peculiar, being well into the 21st century now, that this is still an issue.
Well, you know, you could go back in time to the, do you remember the Gorilla Girls? And the Gorilla Girls would wear these gorilla masks, and it was sort of like guerrilla warfare in a way. But they, in a playful but very direct and meaningful way, were protesting the underrepresentation of women in the permanent collections and temporary exhibitions of art museums. And that began in, what was it, Andre? In the
74.
Yeah. And so, you know, it takes a long time to change a social norm. But I think the time has come.
Yeah. 43 years after the Gorilla Girls, we're ready to see some of those paintings in the museums. Well, are there already initiatives in the U.S. working on this issue?
Well, I think what happens in the case of art museums or other arts institutions, it actually comes down to the search committee. And the search committee, at least in my opinion, the search committee is made up usually of board members. And those board members may be on the older side. So they may be articulating some old thinking, old norms. So I think in a way, you know, encouraging greater transparency or communication with board leaderships of arts museums may be the key to harnessing this, because there are a lot of art museum directors who are like myself, who are retiring, and that presents an opportunity to make pretty dramatic change.
Andrea, tell us about your personal experience as a woman in arts administration. Did you experience any direct discrimination?
Well, I think that when it comes to my direct experiences, it really boils down to scenarios such as this. What do you mean Spelman emphasizes, you know, art by women of the African diaspora? Well, we inspire and re-enrich communities through art by women of the African diaspora. Well, wait a minute. You don't show work by men? Well, our principal emphasis, and it goes through this sort of back and forth. So the examples of disbelief and discrimination really are played out by people's inability to at first comprehend that this would be a mission, that they would really, really think that anybody would have the audacity to form an organization that focuses on this. But of course, we know that it's very, very important work that we're doing. I can't cite specific examples where I have been, for example, like Kaywin, in an interview session where someone has said to me, wait a minute, you might not have the chops or the gravitas. But what I can say is when I tell people that I have made the conscientious decision that at this season in my life, focusing on work by and about women of the African diaspora at Spelman College is a deliberate choice. And so the discrimination comes in very subtle and backhanded ways. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's almost as if people want you to prove that that's a worthy goal or that it's a worthy mission. But then they come and they see what we do and they see what we're about. And so it's a telling, exciting revelation to let people know that, wait a minute, there's extraordinary diversity in what we do. There's extraordinary diversity in what we present. But I can genuinely say that my colleagues who have done things like been on interviews and have had really unpleasant exchanges with board members about aptitude or even questioning their commitment if they're mothers or if they're wives. I mean, these things do persist. And I just feel very, very fortunate that it's not my personal scenario, but for me, it really does come down to people's disbelief. But what an incredible opportunity to prove people wrong, and an important thing to do on a regular basis.
Well, looking beyond the visual arts, you see something similar in film, theater, opera houses, all sorts of areas have this similar problem. And maybe to some it seems redundant to point out that women still earn 68 cents to the dollar, I think was in the background of your panel discussion. Why is it important, even if it seems redundant, that we keep mentioning this?
So I believe that until we have achieved parity and until we have achieved equity, we still need to have these conversations on a regular basis. Localizing it to Atlanta, I think about what a privilege it is to collaborate and have partnerships with organizations that are run by other women in the city. Most recently, we organized a program with Atlanta Celebrates Photography, who, of course, executive director is Amy Miller, and also with Art Papers, the executive director is Saskia Benjamin. And I must say, we were quite a force as we presented a project, an opening project at Spelman featuring the work of Micheline Thomas. But then I have to think beyond that, thinking about people like Myrna Anderson Fuller, who's at the Hammond's House, and, you know, women like Ann Dennington, and people that are owning galleries and managing. So there's an incredible force of women that are in this city. But these are important conversations to keep at the forefront and to really foreground on a regular basis. We have made some strides, certainly, but again, that 27% is not the statistic that we want to be, you know, sharing in another 5, 10 years, et cetera, et cetera. There's work to be done, and I think that we are indeed going to see some pretty monumental shifts in the art world in the coming months and years.
Well, I want to thank you both. This has really been enlightening.
Thank you. Thanks for the
invitation. Thank you, Lois.